Welcome to Christ Day. Heavenly Father, be with us as we search to understand you and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Be with us, Holy Spirit, as we search out our understanding, and please guide us when we go through the difficulties of life. The things that we don't understand, we seek understanding for, and you can show us the things that are around us in the world that need our attention or our awareness or our caution. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us, and thank you, Jesus, for your gift of salvation and forgiveness. And in your name we pray, amen. So we have things going on still, and this broadcast is just examining all the things, sometimes short-term, sometimes long-term. The broadcast of Jesus, of Christ today has to do with following and loving God through Jesus Christ. And that's what has turned into it for me. I did not used to be a Christian. I was just a regular businessman guy, and I was all right. But what a difference to have Jesus in my life. It makes all the difference, and of course, having your long-term, eternal security secure is something that is very precious. So I hope that you develop your relation with Jesus Christ. God is real. The Bible is real. Jesus is real. And the Word of God is so precious when you read it and you seek understanding. God will give you that understanding. And like I said, I did not used to be a Christian. I was a regular guy. And knowing Jesus Christ and having the understanding of biblical concepts has just made everything make sense in the whole world. So I'm just glad for it. I hope you have that same kind of understanding as you read the Bible and see the things that are going on in the world, things that have gone on in the world. Our loving relation with God, Jesus, is absolutely wonderful. It's something every one of us can have, and it's something you can just try out if you don't know Jesus. Say, Lord, if you're real. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's about what I prayed at first. I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, tell me. That was a part of my very first prayer. So maybe that's a part of something you pray too. I don't know. We are all different. God touches us in different ways and gives us different understandings. Sometimes he gives people miracles even, that are really quite obviously miracles. And I have known several people that have had an angel visit too. Let's see. Here's an example of of somebody who had car trouble. This was a relative of mine, and she was stuck off the road. She'd pulled off the road just a little bit. What happened was, with a car, if one tire is slipping, you don't get traction. So then there she was, not knowing what to do, looking at the car, looking all around, nothing and nobody for miles. It was just the road she was on was like that. So she said a little prayer, and short time later, out of nowhere, a man came up to the car on a bicycle and asked if he could help. And she said she was stuck and didn't know what to do. And he said, "Oh, let me push you." And so she got in the car and was ready for the accelerator and get back on the road. And the fellow wasn't back, pushing, lifting and pushing. And the car got back onto the road. And she said, "I got out of the car and went to thank him. He was right there. And then all of a sudden he was gone. No, I could see both ways up and down this road. And there was no man on a bicycle. He was not anywhere to be found. And I just say it had to be an angel." So that was one example of an angel visit. There are people who've had them very similar to that. I've heard of that kind of thing before, too. It's just wonderful how God really watches over us. And it's just, God has miracles for us. And we get to say, "Yes, Lord, this is wonderful. And how can I serve you now that I know you are God and you're wonderful?" So we thank Jesus for what there is. We thank Jesus for the amazing things that happen to us, like an angel visit or like a healing or something like that. I look at my healing and after my car accident, and I think, yeah, this is God too. This is something that God did, because it was, you could see the expressions on the medical people's face, and you know that what happened was better than normal by far. So I just, it's not that I can point to a picture or a video and say, "Look, God did this." But the things that, from the reactions, what happened and the reactions that I saw, let me know pretty clearly that it was an angel visit. An act of God. It was something that was done through grace and mercy, and I thank God for that. And anyway, I'm just talking. So let's see. There's things that we have going on in life, and we can just be thankful to God that this has happened. And we thank God for our little things, too. There's so many little things that we have to be thankful for, that our body parts work, that something which popped up didn't get us in the eye, or whatever it was. There are little things that just plain happen. The door closed, and it didn't close on our baby's finger. I mean, there's just all sorts of things that happen, and we just thank God for the many blessings that He gives us. That it's not like we can say, "Oh, that's a miracle that I could publish in a book." No, we don't always get those. Some people do, but some of them are just plain God is watching after us for the little things, and we say, "Thank you, Lord." Yes. Sometimes it has to do with an animal or a pet. And yeah, it's just beautiful. So we say, "Thank you, Lord." We can say, "Thank you, Lord, for the beauty that we see in the earth. Maybe it's a sunset. Maybe it's the way the hills are. Maybe it's animals on the hills." It's just lots and lots to be thankful for. And we do say thank you. I hope we do say thank you to God. It's just a little, "Thank you, Lord." That's as much as it takes. Or a prayer. "Father, guide me in Jesus' name. Amen." I mean, it doesn't have to be long. It just has to be addressed to God in a way that you get it, and I'm sure He gets it. So give thanks to God for all the things that we have, whether it's the meal that's before us or the fellowship that we have with family members at a holiday time. There's lots of good things, even if they don't go perfect. There is lots of goodness, and we say, yes, Lord, thank you. Well, we have things going on around us, that's for sure. In the world, some things are put there to tempt us. Some things seem to be put there to confuse us. And when we see the people around us, might be a powerful leader, it might be just a guy next door, it might be who knows what, but there's something going on. And we get to recognize it, and still, we can be thankful for the things that are going on around us. And we say, thank you, Lord, that things went as good as they did. And yet, there's things that we say, God, protect us, when we maybe see manipulation that's going on that we really wish wouldn't happen. That happens, too, in business, in politics. And we just wish they wouldn't happen, but you can see something bad looks like it's going to happen. So that's a little bit of a prayer. Who knows how much it takes? It doesn't mean it's going to take an hour on your knees. It just means that you acknowledge God in the situation. But as you pray about it, you also will get understanding, and you will get to see what is appropriate for what's going on. It's just your relation with you and God. I think of, that just came to me, the Romans 13 thing, where we are manipulated sometimes by people who say government is in charge, and that Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Well, they are certainly allowed. It doesn't mean there are good things that are happening. There can still be consequences for our votes or our actions or something that goes on. Yes, God knows about it. He allows it. But it doesn't mean it's good. So we always have to be careful that we don't submit to evil, because there can be evil around us, and we just want to be obedient to the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. A lot of people have abused that Romans 13:1 passage, and they make it sound like we need to obey government. Oh, they did that in Nazi Germany a lot. That was a commonly quoted passage to say you need to obey your government. And there's always a question of if we obey government and how. Oh, well, let's look at the Bible. There's this passage in Exodus 1:15 about the Hebrew midwives, Sua and Shaphra, and they were ordered by Pharaoh to kill every male Hebrew baby that was born. But they did not. They did not kill the Hebrew baby boys. They let the boys and the girls live that were born to the Hebrew women. And then they were honored by having their names written in the Bible for doing something that was disobedient to government, but obedient to God, in that they honored life. So we have these questions of how obedient are we supposed to be to government? Do you think that all the governments of the world are righteous? How about the communist Chinese, who killed tens of millions, and the communist Russians, who killed tens of millions? This is in their own country. And the Nazis, who were ordered the Jewish people and the Christians to go to concentration camps. Do you think you should have obeyed that order? Well, obey the authorities of government, because they are of God. Well, if you were ordered to find Christians and Jews and kill them, would you, because the government ordered it? You have to try to examine what the principles of the Bible are, and it's not to obey every order, even given lawfully. It is to search out what God's law is first, and then if it conforms to God's law, then you obey the civil authorities. But these are examples right out of the Bible that show you not every order by government ought to be obeyed. And it takes examination and it takes prayer to understand these things. There are answers available. I hope you look for those answers. It's something that we all need to do, every one of us. We'll always get, let's say it's a test to see if we're going to obey mankind or the rulers, let's say, or if we are going to obey God. Do you know that? You have to figure this out, and you will get consequences for whatever is going on. It's not that I know them. I don't mean I do. It's just that there are always consequences, and you get to see what it's about and what it will do. Now, so many people in the past, you know, people in history, and the people today, lots of people today, they study the Bible and they try to figure out what it means. And if you just look at one passage and pick out that one passage, you might not get the best understanding that there is. But if you get the biblical theme, you can understand it a lot better. But that takes study. That takes reading the Bible. And there is that passage, study and show thyself approved. And this is a part of what would be a good understanding that I would say. Well, we have tests going on. What is your test to whether you should obey the Bible or how or what it says? We all have a different idea, but we all have to stand on something and do what we are told. Keep in mind that there are consequences for everything that you do, and that includes obedience to God and the Bible. You know, God doesn't ask you to do anything that is contrary to His Word. When He says, love God and love your neighbor, it doesn't mean that you get to have a pass because you had a dream about something or had a strong feeling that you needed to kill somebody, and the Bible's doesn't want you to kill anybody. It wants you to love your neighbor. So, what are you going to do? Little test? Yes, it's a little test, or it might be a big one for you. But that's how it works. You have to seek God and His understanding. There's lots in the Bible. You can make things contradictory if you want, but from what I've read after reading the Bible a few times, there is no contradiction in the Bible. That is so clear to me. It's just that you might want to pick out one verse or one theme and then say, this is what the Bible says. Oh, be careful with that one. That's not what you want to do. You want to get a good understanding of the whole Word of God, the Bible, and then live like that. God presents lots of things in the Bible, and in a way, it's obvious, and in a way, it takes study to make it obvious, but it's something you want to do, to study, and to see what the Bible says. It's It's just what you want to do. When we study the Old Testament, it's so similar to the New Testament. It's not like it's so much different. It's like it's so much the same. And the principles that are in the New Testament are in the Old Testament. If you look at the footnotes, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you see cross-references all the time. Something will be referred to in the Old Testament as you read the New Testament, or vice versa. You're reading the New Testament, it says, look at whatever, James, Matthew, whatever. And it's the same principles being spoken in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it just takes a little study. You have to study, you have to read, you have to remember what it says. But there's so much good understanding, information, principles for you to get out of reading the Bible. I hope you do. Read all of it, study all of it, and if the commandments that are written in it are too much, read the two great commandments of Matthew 22:38, to love God and love your neighbor. And if you can grasp how many different ways it means that, then you can begin to understand the Bible. Because love comes in many forms. And what's the best love? You better pray about that one. It's not that it's hard to figure out. It's just that you have to search out the understanding. It's all there. There's all sorts of things that are there, and the principles of how we live and mixing of pure things with impure things is not biblical. That's very clear in the Old Testament, and pray for what it means. I mean, some things you can... A pastor can tell you this is what it means, and it's pretty obvious, and there's some things you can see different applications and seek understanding from the Lord, and you get more understanding. Anyway, the Bible is a really good book to read. I hope you do. I hope you read all of it from beginning to end. You start getting understanding, and after all, if we're going to spend eternity with Jesus, don't we want to know what he's about? Yeah, we want to know Jesus. So, read the whole Bible and get an understanding of it. And that way you will fit right into heaven when you are doing his will. And that's so much nicer and easier than thinking that you have to change this and you have to change that. Well, just fit in. Anyway, that's what I think of. That's what I think of with me. But you can use things all sorts of ways. Whether it's that purity or keeping your children pure, and a part of that is you're responsible for training the child up. Who is? The dad is. Of course, moms do a whole lot of it, but the mom and dad have to agree. Well, I mean, it's written in there, and you'll get to see what it means. Look it up. Use the concordance. Or ask questions, and you will be able to find answers, but you still have to read it to get the understanding. Oh, anyway, Bible is a good book. Good book. Has lots of love and lots of teaching in it, and we can all learn more and more about how to live or raise children or have the household work. All sorts of things are in there, and then you try to follow those biblical principles, and things work just so much smoother. I hope you do. I hope you have a good look at it, a good read. It's just good. It's just good. Well, we know things go on in the world. I'm just thinking. Well, I was thinking two things, I'll tell you. One is the Mauna Loa volcano in Hawaii, how it's throwing up lava. And that's something which is spectacular. It's something to see. There's pictures of it. So I was thinking about that just now. Another thing I was thinking about was the Euphrates River, how the spirits would come out from under the Euphrates River when the river was dry, and the armies of the east would cross the Euphrates on dry ground. And the Euphrates River is dry right now. And there's things going on in the world that are showing natural events, or you could say natural disasters, with floods, with volcanoes, with the Euphrates River drying up. There's lots of things that are happening in the world that are showing that biblical type of events are happening. And we need to be aware of that so that we can realize things really are happening. Let's get close to God. Let's belong to God. Let's do that. And that's a part of what we each of us can do as we see the events of the day going on around us. Sure, the volcano. Sure, there'll be earthquakes. Sure, there'll be fires. Sure, all sorts of things. The floods of in the streets. Well, who ever heard of floods going on in Saudi Arabia, but that dry desert country? But they have been going on. Oh, I think that was 2 months ago. But the thing is this is how the events are getting our attention. And I think of, it's kind of like a flood. Are we having another flood? Is that what's going on? If we're having a flood, does it kind of remind you of Noah's flood, where the thoughts of mankind were only evil continually? Huh. Yeah. Okay. That's one of those things. Are we getting ready to experience the days of Noah? Maybe. It just might be. And so, let's get prepared by having, well, I think of preparedness, spiritually and physically. So if we do have some of those natural disasters, you will want to live through them, of course. And I will too. So let's get a little supplies. Oh, I think of the plain and basic foods, and that's what I hope you get. Rice, wheat, and beans, and flavors, and multivitamins. And you know what? We all have a different idea of what we can buy, where we can store it, and how much it will cost. So, in a way, it doesn't matter if you get one of those books that tell you all the things that you ought to be getting to be prepared, and they will tell you about lunches and dinners and breakfasts and snacks, and what should you get anyway? Well, that's always a big question, and it's not like there's one answer. It's you have to put things together. Are you going to buy things every week, just an extra $20? Is that what your goal is to how you're going to get preparedness supplies? I don't know the answer because we all do it differently. And that is something that you will have to work out for yourself to figure out what you are going to do and how you're going to do it. How are you going to afford what you want? Maybe you have to start with the very, very basic things. Just 20 pounds of rice and 10 pounds of beans and flavors and spices and a few gallon jugs of water. I mean, that can be a $50 item just like that. So it's not like you can't afford it. It's not like you can afford it. It's like this is in the plan and I'm going to do it. So you start someplace, and maybe next month or in a few months, you will be able to afford some other things that you really like instead of the silly little rice that you bought, and get white rice, not brown rice. White rice lasts for a long time. Brown rice has oil on it, which does not last more than 6 months, maybe only three, depending on how sensitive you are to taste. But might last a year, too. So there's things which you have to decide on what are your priorities and what are you going to do about it. What kind of water filter are you going to get? Well, anyway, that's just things for you to think about and try to figure out what you're going to do. Now, I know we have had natural disasters, and that includes the fires that have had in the area, or maybe you just know somebody who's been through a fire, and you know how devastating it is, and so you will want to have some things that reflect what you would need in a fire. It's all a matter of decision for what you want to do. And if there are people who are in need, you're probably not going to get everything you want, but you can always trade somebody for something else. And that's just how you do it. I know there's a lot of people who, oh, yeah, that Paradise Fire, that was a big one. And people had a different idea as to preparedness after that. So some things that they really found out they needed, and some things they said, oh, that burned in the fire, and I'm not going to get another one. So we all get to decide these questions, and I don't know the answers. You will get to figure them out. So look at the disasters going around. You might want batteries. Flashlights are really nice. Will it be a rechargeable flashlight, or will you have electricity to power that flashlight? Will you have electricity to recharge your phone? Will your phones even work? I mean, if we have a real, true grid down, cell phone towers, are not going to work. So they will for a few days, but then everything will go dark. So questions, questions, questions. What are you going to do? I don't know, but it's good to have the people who you are on your phone contact list. It's good to have a paper contact list too, in case you lose your phone or something like that. Have an extra set of house keys. I mean, there's just so many things. Have your records written down for your numbers, or a copy of your statements or something. There's just, you get to decide on what is good for you and what isn't. Are you going to have a lighter for starting a campfire? Are you going to have cups and silverware to take with you? Look, there's no answers. It's what suits you. The meals ready to eat, military meals are good too, but they're more expensive. So somehow you get to figure out if you're going to have a propane stove or if you're going to use what. A lot of times there are many answers, and it's a matter of what you decide to do, and then you do it. That's about as good as we can do for all of these things. So, like I said, the first thing is always Jesus, because if you die without Jesus, it's not good. But that's the first thing, your spiritual preparedness in a relation with Jesus. And then you have some physical things too. Oh, but there again, everybody has a different idea. If there's no electricity, you just might want to have a sleeping bag. In fact, that's a really good one. If there's no electricity, you might want to have a backpack to put your things in. You might want to have water containers to get water from wherever you get it from. Lots of questions. Well, in America today, we do have lots of questions because there are enemies that America has. And what we're doing in Ukraine is causing some of the enemies to show them, speak out as enemies. And of course, I mean Russia and China and North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba. These are places that have had a long history of being against the United States. So if there was an opportunity to act against the United States, would they? Well, if you look at their history, they sure would. It's questions, and you have to know what you're going to do and where you're going to be. But there's also people who say, I'm going to go to a safer place. I'm out of here. And you have to know that if you don't have ties in that area, who are your support people going to be that you can trade with and support and help out? Well, of course, they'll help you too, but it's a matter of both ways. You help them, they help you, and that's a part of your community. And questions. How are you going to do this? But that's something which we all are concerned about. We think about the things that are going to happen in America, and we really have to seek out what just might happen. I know Jonathan Cahn talks about things too, and he talks about the patterns of ancient Israel happening in today's United States, where we have, ancient Israel did this first, and then America is following into the same pattern of allowing false gods into their society and removing the true God. There's a matter of the sexualization of everything, including children. That happened in ancient Israel. And so, will it happen in America? It seems to. And then there will be the Revelation chapter 18 consequences, where Mystery Babylon will be judged in 1 hour. So, could that be the pattern? Oh, yes, it could. This is the kind of thing which patterns repeat, and we can just be aware of them and say, oh, well, what does that mean? What should I do? And just have a look and see what it is that is going on. And you get that by studying, or you listen to people, but even if you listen to people, there's a lot of information out there, and it is often a little bit conflicting. So study it and see where you stand on the different matters, and then do something. Because if you do nothing, you're going to be just as helpless in the future as you are today. If you have no supplies and no warmth today, in 6 months, do you think you're going to have more supplies and more warmth? Are you going to be able to afford to do more? Doesn't look like it. So I say, get some stuff as soon as possible and do it with a plan. Have a plan to get something every week or every month, and save up your money so that you can afford that. There's just so many things that are working against godly principles. And so just on that basis, you can tell that things are going to happen in America that we don't want to see happen. It's always going to be amazing, because God does amazing things. Not that they're good, or they won't feel good, but they're just trouble things. We've got money problems, and that makes me think of that. There's been plenty of people who have spoken on large media, mass media, and said that there's things going to happen to America, and it's just a good thing to look and see what you can understand is coming and what you can do about it. Does the 87,000 IRS agents that were approved of that was in 2022, does that mean something's going to happen? Like maybe we're going to get taxed more? Yeah, it sure looks like it. And then there was that requirement that says $600 or more, you have to file a form if you provide or receive $600 or more a year. I think that's a form 1099-K. And you have to provide that to the IRS so that everyone can get taxed appropriately. There's just these things that are going on, and we can see where they're headed. So what are we going to do about it? Well, maybe we're just going to conform and comply. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that we have to know that these things are going to happen so we don't get, let's just call it harmed by what very well may happen. Stay aware, everyone. There is a lot of things to be aware of, and we don't want to get hurt by them, because they could really complicate our lives if we are not aware of them, and then things just happen. It's not good to have surprises happen like that. The interest and penalties and all that stuff, and just getting more people or IRS agents concerned with what's going on with you. You don't need that stuff going on in your life, so avoid it. And yes, conform to the government, especially when it doesn't conflict with anything God is saying. So yes, just do that. We each have a relation with God, and we have a covenant in the Bible that it talks about the things. Oh, I guess I'm thinking about Ephesians 2. There's something about covenants of promise with Israel. And, of course, I think those things also apply to other people, not just to Israel, mainly to Israel, but it still is a principle that has some influence on other things. That's my opinion. You look and see what you think, because, oh, there's a lot of opinion about a whole lot of things. But you only get to have opinions when you get some understanding and information. And then we can talk about what they mean. A lot of things seem to mean different things to different people. But we do have love and we do have hope in the Bible. And this just is something for everybody. And that's what an assurance that is, that Jesus loves us and we have hope in God through Jesus Christ. That is wonderful. Search the Bible and let it show you. And I just think of Revelation 3:20, where it says that Jesus is knocking at the door, and he's waiting for you to hear his voice and open the door, and then he will come in and have dinner with you. Wow. Well, you think that's exactly perfectly true? Sure. But it might have some meanings that are a little bit different than the plain ones. So that's the kind of thing we want to have, that heart that is open and available to opening the door to Jesus. That's what I think we want. The message is quite uniform and everybody can get it, and that's what we want to do. We have a message that we can all hear. It applies to each one of us with hope and with love. And we want to use that and have it in our life. How wonderful to have the hope of Jesus Christ and the glory of a heavenly life with God. Oh, yes, Lord, and thank you. So there's plenty of things going on, and the more we search the Scripture, the better we understand things. It's not that we understand it perfectly or that there is only one way to understand, because a lot of times there's more than one thing to understand. It applies in different ways. So just study that Scripture. Look and see things. I urge everyone to read that Bible. Yeah, you read it over and over. It took me a year to read the Bible. I've done that several times, and I get more and more familiar with it, and all it does is makes me have greater understanding and have a greater goodness in my heart, because Jesus is full of love. Yes, for me, and yes, for you. And it's just amazing. It's so wonderful. So you just have that look and see and try to understand what is in the Bible. There's so many things for a good life. It's examples that tell you how you want to live so that you can have the blessings of God in your life. And it's wonderful. It just tells you this and that. And yeah, there's so many things that go on, and we just want to say, yes, Lord, we are in America today, and it is good. There is the goodness of life is amazing. It's astounding. We have a Heavenly Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit that loves us. It's just completely wonderful. God loves us. Hooray. It's just so much goodness, so many good things. And we have to guard against the things that are not of God. There's a lot of things that want to interrupt our fellowship with God. And of course, it's devilish. It's things that the devil wants to put in our way so that we do not have a relation with Jesus Christ. Maybe we have too much pain that gives our we give our attention to. Maybe there's something that is just won't let us rest, and so our attention constantly goes to it. These are all things that are distractions from God, and we want to always remember that our hope and our life is with God Jesus, and that's where we want our attention to go to. And yes, there's other things, because we're alive in the world, and we think of the things that are just ordinary, like how do we prepare for a natural disaster? That's also just plain and ordinary. And by the way, how do you prepare for a natural disaster? Well, it depends on the disaster. And we all have a different thought of what a disaster is and how we would prepare for it. They're all different. Fire, earthquake, a windstorm, a rainstorm, snowstorm. But the thing is, for all the disasters, one thing we need is food. We need food to get through whatever it is that's in front of us. Everybody needs to eat, even if it's a little bit. We need food for our stomachs and water for our drink. So that's something, the basics of survival are water, food, and warmth. And then you can think of the other things. Lots of them, you get to figure it out. I mean, matches, or a butane lighter, or a pot for cooking, or all the food that you need, and sugar, salt, vitamins. It's look it up for somebody who has an idea that can tell you what it is you need for your preparedness supplies. And then you simplify the list, you get what you can, and you get what you can afford, and then you write other things down so that the next time you go to the store in 6 weeks or whatever it is, you can afford more things that will go into your preparedness supplies. And that's about the best way you can do it. You do have to be careful that the bugs don't get in. And often enough, that means a plastic container with a lid on it that's tight-fitting. Sometimes you will have to put things in their own plastic bags. For some foods, you will want an oxygen absorber. It's a real project. It's not like it's easy. If you have enough money, you can buy something for several thousand dollars, and it is packed and stored well. But that's $3,000. And a lot of times, we just don't have that much money we can spare. But we can spare $30 for a 50-pound bag of rice or sugar and salt and oil. And so we do what we can. The thing is if we are hungry, any food is good. And spices are really good. So whatever the spice is, I mean, salt and pepper, sure. Maybe vanilla extract. Cinnamon. I mean, it's just whatever spices you are used to. Get a few of them. Have them on hand. It is just something we all need to make food taste better. Get it. It's what you do. Get a few toothbrushes. Get soap. Get shampoo. And if it's for your emergency supply, you might want to use any generic shampoo and soap, because you probably want the nice stuff for you to use now, and then you can save the other for the time when you just think you'll need it or might need it in a natural disaster. If there was one way to do it, it would be done. Hand tools are nice. Garden seeds are nice. And there again, you want to put them in a strong plastic bag so nothing gets into them. no insects or rodents. So this is something. It's a project. I don't mean it's easy. It is not easy to figure out what you need and what you're going to do about it. But when people are hungry, you just become so grateful for all the little food that you have and all the flavors. So that's why it's good to get something. Get something, something simple and inexpensive. And then as you get more money, you can replace the simple foods with a more expensive one that you like better. And then remember, things don't last forever, and you have to protect things from bugs and rodents. So it's a project. It's not like it's the easiest thing to do, but you want to do something, something, and have something on hand for that just in case. Oh, there's been people all over the world that have wished they've had something, had some kind of food or whatever it is. And that's something that you can do too, is to just have something instead of nothing. We go forward thinking we can always buy what we need. We can always go to the store and get whatever it is we need. But if there is a rush on, or let's say a natural disaster, or if people feel threatened, all of a sudden, all those good things go away. There is no food in the stores. There is no medicine at any other store. It's just, that's what we have going on around us. And if you want it, have a plan to buy what you need the most. And you also want that plan so you don't get doubles of things. Well, I've done that. Oh, more toothbrushes. Yeah, that's good. Dental floss. Oh, well, no, I'll tell you. If you have a bunch of them, you don't need that many, but you need a few. So get the things and have a plan. Examine it. Have it written so that you can really understand what it is you're doing. And there are things that happen that are surprises. I mean, governments can change, or there can be even revolution in the street. What would that be like if you had to deal with rioters all over? And that's something which more people are talking about. Will it happen? I don't know. Will there be authoritarian rulers in the United States? Will there be martial law? Will there be anything? Who knows? It's just that there are things that we can do that will prepare us in small ways. And that's the most basic: food and water and warmth. Get a few items of clothing that you can wear and double up so that you stay warmer. Wear 3 shirts. Wear 2 pants. Have a jacket. Have a cap. What do they call that? A watchman's cap. Something that will cover your ears. There is answers. But you have to put things in order and get what you think is the most important first. Cooking oil is something that most people forget about. A knife sharpener is another thing that people forget about. Oh, you might want a butane lighter for starting a fire, or having your propane stove start, or maybe it's a different kind of stove. If you're thinking of firewood, you're going to need an axe and a saw. It's not like there's any one answers, but it is that if you don't take an examination of what it is you need, it doesn't happen. You just don't do anything, and you think everything's going to be fine, and then when it isn't, it's trouble. So think about it. Make a plan. Get prepared and see what it is that you can do. Now, there's all sorts of people who have ideas. Listen to some of them and then make your own plan. That is what I surely do suggest. There's people in the world that, of course, want what you have, and you have to be aware of that also. So I think flashlights and batteries are pretty good too. And use them sparingly. Have a weak flashlight, have a strong flashlight. Sure, knife sharpener and utensils and things like that. That's plain old things you want. I always invite you to listen again to any other broadcast you want or this one. Go to www.christtoday.org. Or you can write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I always thank you for your prayers. I thank you very much for your prayers. I thank you for writing to me, or if you have a donation, certainly I like to be able to keep Christ Today on the air. So definitely thank you for what you do. And I pray for you, and I pray for you to walk with God, and I pray for God to walk with you. Have that loving relation with God, with Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing, amazing God we have. Well, God bless you, and till the next time.